But let us turn to the scriptures. And so the other day, I was in our local Costa coffee shop and ran into a young friend of mine and asked, as we always do, how are you? How are you doing? And she responded I'm good. I'm doing great. Everything is fine. And I could tell from that kind of fixed grin on her face and lack of eye contact that actually she probably wasn't doing okay and probably didn't want me to ask anything else, which I ignored. And because I am a family friend and have known her for quite some time, I wasn't going to let her get away with that. And so we gently just talked a little bit more. And bit by bit, it all came out. She was putting on an I am great face. But actually, when she began to share, when she began to face what she was really feeling, her emotions were one of anger, fear, pain, despair, and shame. Along with, I have to say, along with the real desperate hope that maybe, maybe soon, maybe one day, maybe things would be better. She was dealing with some big emotions. Now, I don't know about you. Do you feel big emotions? Some of us do. Some of us feel those big emotions intensely. Some of us, not so much. We're maybe on more of an even keel. Some of us are good at naming our emotions. Others, which includes me, often need a few bit of help to name our emotions. And I actually find that the scriptures are so helpful and so wonderful at naming some of those emotions and some of the things that I'm going through. And the Bible passage that we're going to look at today is full of those big emotions. So if you've got your Bible with you, would you like to turn to Zephaniah? Zephaniah. If you're not sure where it is, Zephaniah is nearly at the end of the Old Testament. It's before Zechariah and Malachi. So turn, if you can, to Zephaniah. And if you're not sure who he was, Zephaniah was one of the prophets. One of the prophets that God called to speak to all of his people, but particularly Judah, to speak and give a warning that they were going to be judged and that punishment were coming. He was actually the great-great-grandson of King Hezekiah. So he wasn't what we consider a senior royal, but he was definitely part of the noble class. And in the 7th century before Christ, during the reign of King Josiah, who was a follower of God, God gave Zephaniah a prophecy that what was going to come was judgment. Judgment on Israel because of their disobedience and idolatry. But then God gave him a fantastic message. He gave Zephaniah this message of restoration. And it's that restoration that we're going to read this morning. So I'm reading from Zephaniah and chapter 3, verse 14. Sing, daughter Zion. Shout aloud, Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you, and never again will you fear any harm. On that day they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear, Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves you. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. And then Zephaniah moves to the first person, and these are the words of God. I will remove from you all who mourn over the loss of your appointed festivals, which is a burden and reproach for you. At that time, I will deal with all who oppressed you. I will rescue the lame. I will gather the exiles. I will give them praise and honor. In every land where they have suffered shame, at that time I will gather you. At that time I will bring you home. I will give you honor and praise among the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord. Some big emotions in there. Did you catch some of them? Did you catch some of them as we went through that scripture? And quite interestingly, that the emotions came out in action. So we have there at the beginning where God says, I'm going to restore you, Jerusalem, restore you. And there's going to be singing and shouting due to the rejoicing that is to come. There's going to be the end of punishment and a turning away of the enemy, that the enemy can no longer come near. He talks about fear, and fear so intense that your hands hang limp. Have you ever had that when you just like lose all shape and strength and just feel limp with fear? And God is saying, no, 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 I'm going to take that fear away. We have here salvation from the mighty warrior, our Lord God. And this beautiful, beautiful verse in verse 17, where it says, he will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. You've got a God who sings over you. He removes the mourning, the burden, and the reproaches. Instead, he's going to rescue and gather. He's going to praise, honor, and restore. And what I want to focus on this morning, really feel from God, is this bit that he talks about, where he says, all of those who've suffered shame, I am going to restore. Shame. It's a really powerful emotion, isn't it? And our culture has a fairly mixed response to shame. On the one hand, our culture says, no, you shouldn't feel shame. You shouldn't be ashamed of who you are. You can be anything you wish to be, and there is no shame. And yet it also, our culture, shames those who aren't woke enough to think socially or politically in the right way. So on the one hand, there's this idea that if somebody shames you, that's abuse. On the other hand, if someone gives their opinion in public and it's not what you think it is, you can shame them on social media and get away with it. There's a very mixed relationship at the moment with our society and with shame. So what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about shame? Well, according to the scriptures, there is a legitimate feeling of shame. The Bible makes it clear that when we've made a mess of things because of bad choices or actions that we've made, then we should rightly feel guilty and ashamed. We should do that. I want you to think of way, way back in the beginning, Adam and Eve. Shame was the emotion that they felt when they bit into that fruit and realized that they were naked. And their first instinct, because of their shame, was to hide from each other and to hide from God, because they were ashamed. And it's no wonder they now stood guilty, didn't they, before God, and they were vulnerable to each other and to Satan in a whole new horrible way because of what they'd done. In Zephaniah's prophecy, the shame of the nation of Israel and the shame that they faced was that they had disobeyed and turned away from God, and he had let them be taken captive. Their temple had been despoiled and destroyed. Jerusalem had been burnt and torn down, and the people were led off to be slaves servants and citizens of another country. And here, the shame that they felt, rightly so, instead of being the holy people that God had called them to be, they had turned away from Yahweh. They had turned away and followed other gods. And so they should feel the shame about that. And part of that shame was the punishment that was going to come. But the healthy way to deal with shame that comes through guilt, and because we've done something wrong, as we know, is to confess our sins, to repent, and know the forgiveness of the Lord God. And that's what he did on the cross. He died so that we can be free from the guilt and shame of our sins. However, there's another element of shame. And shame that is not so good is when it becomes part of us. When it becomes an integral part of our identity. When shame, maybe because of something we've done, but very often shame that other people place on us. Shame from something that they've done or they've said. Shame that they've placed over you. And in that time, that shame can often be crippling. It's when we internalize shame and say, it's not just that I've done something wrong, but who I am is wrong. Who I am is so broken, so bad, that it means that I'm unlovable and there's no hope. That kind of shame is never, ever from the Lord God Almighty. Ever. That kind of shame comes from the enemy. That kind of shame is a blackness. It's a shadow which is used by the enemy, the devil, to steal, kill, and destroy. That kind of shame is never from the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "But I have come that you may have life, and life in all its fullness." The life that Jesus brings, what he wants to speak over you, what he wants to speak over you, is one of freedom and love and hope, not a shame that has you hiding in the corner, not a shame that has you too afraid to come out. And I just think this is beautiful. And hear what God says to you. Look, the way that I look upon you, let's go back to this verse 17. The way that God looks upon us is with such great delight that in his love he will no longer rebuke us, but he will rejoice over us with singing. Singing. The Lord sings over us. Now, I know that not everyone has had the privilege of good parents. I am really fortunate. I've got great parents. My mum's here. And as for my dad, well, he was a fantastic dad. He was the best dad in the world. And I will argue that with anybody, okay, that my dad was. He loved me unconditionally. And we would spend time together. Now, my dad was not a great singer, for all that in later life, he tried to join a choir. Honestly, he was not a good singer. But when we were out walking together, and we often did, and we would walk hand in hand, he would start trying to croon. Blue moon, you saw me standing alone. Or he sometimes would like country western. What is it? Rhinestone Cowboy? Yeah, something like that. Or some of the old choruses that we used to sing together, like Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Some of you are nodding along to that. And when he died last year, I was able to be there the last night of his life. And I sat there all night holding his hand. And one of the things that I did was sing back to him all those songs that I remember him singing over me. And us singing together. Because there's something about, isn't there, a parent singing over their child or singing with their child that just yells love. You know, are you a parent? Have you been a parent or a grandparent? Have you rocked the little body of your child in your arms, you know, and sung to them, "You are my sunshine, my only sunshine," or whatever your song was? And why do you do that? Because you love them. Because you love them. And when they've had a bad day, when they fail, when they're hurting, do you not just pull them into your arms, hold them close, and murmur, "I'm here, sweetheart. I love you. I will always love you." And why do you do that? Because you know that what your child needs to hear is that they're unconditionally loved. And when you know that you are unconditionally loved, that will get you through anything. That will get you through anything. A couple of years ago, my husband of 20 years told me he wanted a divorce because he'd met someone else. It was one of those moments when my bones turned to water and I fell in a heap, puddle on the ground. The person who had vowed to love me always had rejected me. And shame hit hard. Like Adam and Eve, I wanted to run away and hide. I wanted to crawl under those covers in my bed and not come out. How would I face my four beautiful daughters? How would I face my family and friends? How would I face my congregation? How? It is by knowing that we are loved by God, that he sings his song of love over us, that sees us through our pain, our shame, the despair, the fear that comes with that. It's fear that keeps us hidden, shame and fear. But in John 4:18, we read, "There is no fear in love, because perfect love drives out all fear." Fear has to do with punishment. But when we come and are restored again, look here at what Zephaniah prophesies. "The Lord has taken away your punishment. He's turned back the enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm." Shame comes when we live in fear. Fear that we deserve punishment because we're not worth loving. And that is the lie of the enemy. Living in constant fear of not being lovable isn't true. You are loved. And God says he wants you to live in that love. There's that fantastic verse, isn't there, in Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? If you're loved by him, who can stand against him? The mighty warrior, as Zephaniah says, the mighty warrior who saves. Being open to love, his love, knowing we're loved, drives out all those fear. And it brings us healing, and it brings us hope. God says, verse 18, "I will remove from you the mourning, the burden, and the reproach." Are you feeling burdened today? Are you feeling under reproach? He says he will deal with our enemies. I kind of like that. I like the fact that I'm not the one who has to deal with my enemies. I'm not the one who needs to make people pay or bring revenge or anything like that. I can trust that to God. He will deal with all of those. My responsibility is to come before him, lay my heart open to him and say, "God, I need you. I need you." And he says, great, because he is in the business of rescuing the lame, of gathering back the exiles. He is in the business of ensuring that we can hold our head up with honor because of what he has done, not what we've done, but because of what he has done. And every place where there is shame, that can dissolve away because he's bringing us home, home where we belong, into his arms. You know, for the Israelites, this was a powerful promise of the restoration that was to come. For us, it is no less powerful. It is no less powerful. Are you trapped in those big emotions? Those big emotions of fear or reproach or burden or shame. And maybe that shame is legitimate. Maybe this morning you need to confess. Confess your sins and be released from that guilt. Remember, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we come before him, confess, he will purify us from all unrighteousness. But maybe this morning, maybe this morning you're sitting here thinking, yeah, that shame that I have felt, maybe from something from my past, maybe from what somebody else has said or done to me, maybe because I have listened to the lies of the enemy, and it has wormed its way into our very center of our being. God wants us to be free from that shame today. He wants you to hear him singing over you. Singing, not shame. Singing, not shame. And you can start that journey of freedom from those big emotions, from that fear, from that hurt, from that pain, that guilt, and that shame today. Because he wants to minister to you and begin setting you free, that you no longer have to hide. You don't have to hide who you really are, who you want to be, whom he has called you to be. You don't have to hide your beautiful soul, because he is like the parent, the father, the mother, who is singing over you out of joy because he loves you. We're going to have a song now. It's the song, Good, Good Father. Because we're recognizing the father heart of God. And if this message has spoken to you, if there is, yeah, I need to hear God singing over me, then receive that. In this song that we're going to sing to him, receive the fact that he is your good, good father singing over you.